Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 18th episode of Late Night Crime Cast. I'm your host, Robin Steffens, and every week on Thursday, I'm going to post a new true crime story. I will cover cases that are local, cases that got a lot of media attention, and everything in between. Today is going to be an extra special episode because I have a special guest on the show. Her name is Hope.
Hi, my name is Hope. I was wanting to talk to you, Robin, and just tell a little bit about my story.
Thank you so much for joining me today for this episode. I'm so happy that you're here to share your story. I know this is a huge deal for you, but sharing your story with others can potentially help, you know, them in future situations. So I guess I'll let you take it from here and tell your story the way you want.
Okay, thank you. I just hope to empower another woman, maybe, or just somebody else that is, you know, at risk or something like that. And just maybe with all the, you know, sex trafficking and people being taken and stuff like that, and women being hurt, I just hope that maybe somebody hears it, and I don't know, maybe it'll help somebody. You never know. So I was in my 20s. I'm in my 40s now, but it's kind of a story that you just never forget. Just to start off, to give you like a little bit of a background, I lived in Pueblo, Colorado, and Pueblo, Colorado is about 30 minutes away from Colorado Springs. Pueblo's kind of like a really small town. I mean, it was nothing to brag about back then. So, you know, my mom was a manager at a place in Colorado Springs back then. So even though we lived in Pueblo, we all did a commute back and forth from Pueblo to Colorado Springs to go to work there. My mom was a director at the place, or a manager at the place, whatever. And she was allowed to hire my brother and I on, my brothers, I should say. We all worked there. I have three older brothers, and we were all allowed to work there with her. We all worked weekends and night shifts. So we worked about 5 p.m. to 5 a.m., you know, every weekend. So I just wanted to tell you that because it'll make sense in the story. But Colorado Springs was kind of like more the place to be for me and my girlfriends if we went out, you know, or something like that. It was just more going on there, you know. So I had a girlfriend that lived there in Colorado Springs, and she also worked with us. My cousin also worked with us, and she was, me and her were friends, and we would hang out. So one night, we kind of decided that we were going to plan this weekend, and we were going to skip out on work, and we're all going to go to this nightclub. And we were not going to tell my mom, because my mom was like the boss of everybody. She was like the head honcho, like everybody, you know. So we were not going to tell my mom. We were just going to say we were sick or whatever, you know. And we were going to go out that night in Colorado Springs on the weekend, you know, because working every weekend, I guess you start to feel like you're missing out, you know. Mm-hmm. So we decided we're going to ditch work and we're all going to go out together. And sure enough, I think my cousin must have told one of my brothers. And my brothers and I lived with my mom back then still. And, or again, I should say. But we lived in the same house anyway. And she happened to mention it to my brother. When my brothers are super protective, dangerously protective over me. I'm the only girl. I'm the baby. You know, so they heard about this, and one of my brothers came to me right away and he said, no, don't go there. You have no business going to that nightclub. I don't know if I could say the name. I feel like I can because they're closed.
Okay. Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, I think it'd be fine.
Yeah. So anyway, we went to a nightclub called Bumpers, right?
Okay.
And Bumpers apparently had the worst reputation ever for just everything bad, you know. So I was like, you know, well, I'm going to go. And he's like, you have no business going there. Do not go. And I was like, yeah, yeah, whatever. I'm grown. You know, you can't tell me anything. Like, I'm like, whatever. I'm 20. I don't even know. I was 21, I think 22, something like that. And I just knew everything. So I was going, right? Mm-hmm. And so we just kind of like, okay, whatever. And I think I told him that I wouldn't go. Anyway, the weekend came and we all met at my girlfriend's house. And it was the perfect place because she actually lived diagonally across from the nightclub. And it was some condos that were just located right across the street. We're like, that's perfect. So we'll meet at, you know, your house, and then I'll just park my car there and we'll walk over to the nightclub, you know? So we were like, yeah, that works great. You know? So we do that. We're all dressed up, ready to go out. And we walk over to the nightclub. First of all, it's so crowded. It's insane. There's just no room to even like function. It was terrible. It was just like, it was so crowded. It was so loud. We couldn't even like conversate amongst ourselves, you know? And that's important to say too, because it has something to do with my story, but I just couldn't even hear my cousin or my girlfriend talk to me. It was just so atrocious in there. Like, it's so loud. The music was insane. And there's so many people. They were definitely overpacked, you know? Mm-hmm. So finally, I think my cousin talked to a few people and my girlfriend talked to a few people and I was just not really impressed, but, you know, we were kind of like, let's go. It was just too much. So we didn't stay too long, I don't think. You know, we walked out and the parking lot was full of police. So we took that kind of as a sign that it was our time to go anyway, you know? Mm-hmm. So we were like, yeah, let's go. So we walk out and I'm not clear why the police were there, but later on I would find out the police were always there. They were like just always there because they were about to be called there anyway. So they just went there, you know, it was that kind of place. So I was just like, well, let's just head home. And me and my cousin will drive back home and we were going to say goodnight to my girlfriend. And so we walked back home the whole way. I mean, just talking and laughing. I don't know what about probably somebody we've seen in the nightclub or I don't know. I don't know what it was. Honestly, we were not paying attention basically mm-hmm. at all, you know, which is terrible for three women mm-hmm. late at night. You know, leaving a club, that it was just not a good idea for us, not being paying attention. We were not at all. But so anyway, we get back and I had just got a new car shortly before my brother helped me buy a convertible. And it was just kind of a cool car. My cousin asked me if she can drive it. So I was like, yeah, sure. Well, because of that, she had my keys, and my keys had a little bottle of mace on it, you know, so she had my keys in her hand, and I was telling my friend Bai, who was standing on her porch at the condo, and I opened my door, and I walked back to her, and I was talking to her, and we were walking back and forth, talking to each other still, and my cousin was already sitting in the car in the driver's side, ready to drive home. When I walked back and I had my window down. I was hesitant to get in my car because I was smoking. I used to smoke back then and my cousin hated the smell. So I'm kind of just like hanging around by my car and I rolled down my window and I'm trying to finish my cigarette before I get in the car, you know? So anyway, I'm sitting there and my friend and I are talking back and forth and I'm kind of telling her goodbye because she's getting ready to move to California. It was kind of our last hangout weekend together, you know, and even though I was scheduled to see her in 2 or 3 days, because I was to help her to drive to California, to help her drive her U-Haul, you know? And so anyway, we were just kind of messing around and I was telling her bye. I had my window down and I hooked my arm around the door of my window and I was still smoking my cigarette. And, well, before I knew it, some guy came up behind me and he goes, "Hey, hey." And it was kind of loud. And I just kind of like, I said, "Yeah." And I looked back and I looked up because, I mean, I'm a very tall woman. I'm 5'9", but he had to have been maybe 6'5" or something. I mean, like, just, he was huge, you know, and his shoulders were so wide. Like, he was tall, kind of a slender guy, but he was just wide, like a basketball player or something. Like, he was a big guy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I just looked back and I said, "Yeah." And he's tall, dark-skinned black guy. I happen to be a light-skinned mixed woman, right? So I'm mm-hmm. black and Hispanic. And I say that because of what he said. He next told me that he tried to talk to me in the nightclub and I ignored him. And I was like, "No," I said, "that doesn't even really sound like me. I wouldn't do that." If, you know, I thought that was kind of ridiculous. Even if somebody I don't know said hi to me, back then I would say hi, you know? So I was like, "No, I didn't hear you," or something. I don't know. So he says, no, "You ignored me." And he said, "I am so tired of you light-skinned pretty bitches thinking that you're better than me. And I fucking hate you guys." And I was like, "Whoa," you know, and I didn't even know what to do. Like, I was just like speechless. And right now my heart is pounding and I don't know what to do, but I'm getting ready to go get in my car. And it went really fast, but before I knew it, another guy came and the guy wasn't alone. There was two guys. Mm-hmm. Another guy came up behind him and I was like, no. And I'm still at this point, like, is this what we do? I don't know. Some women, I feel like that's what we do. We're taught to be polite, like, you know, mm-hmm. and not to mention the fact that I have 3 older brothers who always treated me like a princess, you know, so I never knew I can be on the side of an angry man, you know, because they always treated me like I was glass, you know, so it was like, that was weird for me that this guy was being aggressive to me and I didn't know how to handle it, you know, because I had not had that, you know. I didn't know quite what to do, but before I could go get in my car and close my door, he grabbed me and he grabbed me by my one arm and the other guy came behind him and picked me up literally off my feet and he grabbed my feet off the ground and they were pulling me. He was pulling me. The guy, the smaller guy, he was a little bit smaller than the taller individual, started trying to tug me from my car. Well, luckily, because I was smoking my cigarette and I had the window down, I had my arm wrapped around the window and I wouldn't let go of my window frame, you know. They just kept pulling me and pulling me. They were so drunk. I can smell the alcohol on them. I didn't drink back then. I don't drink at all. So I can smell it. You know, it was so strong. But I mean, they were just tugging on me and tugging on me. And all the while they're doing this, they're talking about how they're going to take me to their condo. So apparently it kind of sounds like they live in the same area as my girlfriend. And they're mm-hmm. just going to take me to their place, you know. The taller one starts talking about what he's going to do to me when he gets me there. You know, it was pretty vulgar and pretty explicit, and I'm just freaking out. I didn't know what to do. And so I'm kicking the one that's trying to grab my legs. I'm kicking him, and the one that has my arm, I'm trying to bite him. I'm trying to poke him in his eye. I'm trying to do anything I can. And they're just so strong, you know, but mm-hmm. I just would not let go of that door. And it took me a minute, but I kicked that other one, the one that had my feet. I kicked him in the face, and he got so mad that he decided to give up on me. And he told the other guy, you know, kind of like, F this, I'm done with this. So he walked away. So mm-hmm. then the other guy was like, no, I'm staying and you're coming with me. And I was like, I am not coming with you. No, I'm not. Like, in my head, somehow I knew, like, if I left that spot with him, I was in huge, huge trouble, you know, mm-hmm. whether I was not to be seen again or whether I was going to be raped or whatever it was. I knew that it was going to be bad. You know, he was super angry. You know, it was really obvious. And I was just like, I cannot leave this spot. I just couldn't leave that spot with him. I didn't let go of the door frame. And it took me a second to realize I was smoking a cigarette. So I had the cigarette still in my other hand. And so I grabbed the cigarette for just a small second. He looked away and I grabbed the cigarette and I reached up as high as I could. And I put the cigarette out on his face. Mm. And he must have been so drunk. Because I think that's what they say about your reflexes, right? When you've been drinking a lot, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But he wasn't aware. Like, it was just, it took him a minute, and I almost like I can smell his flesh burning before he realized what I was doing to him. You know, so I'm reaching up and I am fully trying to put that cigarette out on his face. I'm pretty sure wherever he is today, he has a nice fat scar on his chin.
Well deserved.
From me, right? Mm-hmm. I'm so glad about that. Yeah. But I was just like, no way, you know? So anyway, it turns out all that did was make him even more mad. So he started, you know, cussing at me, and he finally got to a point where he got tired of fighting with me. Cause then I started, once his friend let go of my legs, I started kicking on him and punching at him and doing what I could to him. And then after the cigarette thing, he was so mad. And I just remember him, you know, calling me names and "you light-skinned bitch" and, you know, stuff like that. And, you know, it was just crazy. And I just remember after that, I must have let go of the door. I felt like I thought he was going to walk away. And it's kind of like he tricked me and he turned back around real quick, or he changed his mind. And he come back like just full circle and just hit me in my face. And so I was like, I just remember a watch. Like, that sounds ridiculous, but I just remember seeing this really shiny watch come at my face, and then I was out. I was knocked out, and I fell down. And when I fell, I was in the parking lot, of course, so my neck landed on the cement pillar, you know, where you park.
Oh, and yeah.
Yeah, so my head was on one side. My neck is, you know, stuck on the cement pillar, and I'm just laying there. This whole time, I'm not even truly conscious of the fact that my cousin is just sitting in the car holding my mace.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's not helping me, or she's not doing anything. And I'm just like, nobody was helping me, I thought, you know. But it turned out that, well, he was, you know, while they were tugging on me and whatnot or whatever else, my girlfriend ran back to, she didn't bother calling the cops. She ran back to the nightclub and she went and got the cops and told them to come back. That's how fast it all happened. I mean, but She just ran back across the street and told the cops, somebody's trying to take my friend, please help. And then they drove back. And by the time they got back, he had hit me. I was out cold. And the cops came back. And what I remember next was sitting on my friend's porch with my mom. And I was like, Mom, I'm like, how did you get here? You know? And my girlfriend had called her. Naturally, she knew where she worked because we used to all work together. And she called my mom and she said, I need you to come quick. Somebody hit Hope, you know, somebody hit her. And my mom, who was not very far away, she lived close by our job. My mom drove down thinking that I got hit by a car. And so she drove that way. And she was just like, oh, my God, what am I going to see? You know, but I think it was just like I just woke up and I didn't know what was going on. But I seen lights everywhere. By the time I came to, the police were there. There was an ambulance there. And the ambulance guys tried to take me to the hospital. And I mean, like, I freaked out. You know, I just wouldn't let nobody touch me. You know, probably I should have went. I ended up with some long-term injuries, you know, but I just wouldn't let those guys touch me. I just was freaked out by then. I can hear the police officers talking, and I can hear their radios, and I can feel the side of my face starting to swell, you know, and I'm like, I guess I'm at this point, I'm already like turning black and blue, but my mom is kind of like holding me, and I'm, you know, I'm like, just kind of dazed. And the cop came to me, and I see this other cop car speed up in front of me and just park right in front of me. And he gets out and he says, is this the guy? And I was like, who? And he said, look in my back seat. Is that the guy? And sure enough, it was the guy that had hit me. And I said, yeah, that's one of them. Well, he says, you know, we couldn't find the other one. They couldn't find the smaller guy. He got away. The other cop in conversation asked him, so how did you catch him? And he says, well, he was just ducking down over here. He said, and I pull him out to talk to him. And they started laughing about him because they said that he identified his watch. The cop said that he had hit me so hard that his watch blew off. He said, you know, he wanted that watch back so bad that he admitted to being the one that had assaulted you. And I was just like, oh my God. So I don't know, but they like had a good laugh about him. Like he was like the dumbest criminal ever. And I don't know. I didn't find it comical then when it happened, but I find it comical now. Mm-hmm. So he's like, give me my watch back. But, so, I mean, from there it was, okay, so he goes to jail, you know, and then I get to go back home and I just deal, you know, and I'm just like, okay, from then on, they had some court proceedings and stuff like that. And a woman called me, she would call me while I was at home and talk to me about, what was going on in court. And I told her, you know, maybe I should just, I didn't get nothing in the mail. Like, how come I didn't get to go to the court date? You know, like, it seems like I should have been there, you know? And she says, no, because she is part of a witness protection program. And she says, the whole point for me is to not be there, because she said, listen, this is a dangerous guy. He had prior arrest. She said he had just got out of prison for beating his wife or ex-wife. He had beaten her pretty bad, I guess. So, I mean, she said, if the last time he's seen you, he was really drunk, we don't want him to see you while he's sober. Like, let's not refresh his memory, you know? So I was like, it just felt really unfair, you know? And my mom was just kind of like, maybe for the best though, because if you go to court, like your brothers are going to want to go and like everybody's going to see each other. And it was probably just not meant to be, because the woman from the justice office that I was talking to about the court, she was kind of warning me against his family members also. She was like, you don't want anybody to see who you are. If, you know, which we're going to press charges anyway, but if his family goes to the courthouse, you don't want his family to see you. You don't want any of that, you know, which I would have never thought of, you know. So it ends up being that she calls me when it's all over and she says that he gets 8 years for assault and attempted kidnapping. And so I don't know if he actually did all his time. I'm not quite sure. But after that, I just never really heard, you know, much of it. I just know that it like totally broke our friendships. You know, is that weird? I don't know. The people I was with that night, I never really talked to again.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we are all traumatized from it somehow or another.
Mm-hmm.
My cousin, who was so terrified that she couldn't even get out of the car, you know, and help me. And I know that's what it is now, but back then my family just hated her for it, you know, and they were just like, you even had her mace. You could have done something, you know, you did nothing. And it was just kind of like, yeah, you did nothing, you know, it was like, fun, you know, but, you know, now I know, you know, in hindsight, you're like, that stuff is terrifying for anybody, you know? I mean, it was weird. And a few days later, I would meet up with my friend and help her drive back or drive to California and help her drive her U-Haul there, you know? And then I would fly back. So, and I did just as scheduled, you know, but the whole time it felt like either she was feeling sorry for me or she felt bad or something. Like, I felt like the whole time she's kind of like looking at my face, which is still black and blue at this point. And I don't know. It just was never the same, you know, and I got there and we kind of just said goodbye and we never spoke again. And I felt like she was traumatized on her own level of stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she did what she could for me, you know? And it was just like, I don't know. But I mean, that's kind of the worst part for me, is that we don't talk anymore. Like, it was so traumatizing that I haven't talked to my cousin in years, you know?
That's crazy.
That night, literally, you know? And we'll see each other at family gatherings and whatnot, and it's just like nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure if she's mad at me or, you know, or if she's just dealing with everything that she's seen that night, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It took me a while to just realize that I wasn't the only one that went through it, that they did too, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm glad that he got arrested and I'm glad that he got 8 years, but I wish that the trauma would only last 8 years for me, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wish that I can be out of my sentence and be done with it, but it's an everyday thing now, and we're like talking years later here that sometimes I can go to a store or something and not want to go in because all of a sudden I get anxiety because of somebody I've seen in the parking lot. Maybe they remind me of him, or, you know, maybe they look like him, or maybe they just seem angry and I don't want to be near them, or it's just, I don't know. Sometimes it's ridiculous, but it's just what I am now from that night. And I'm like no longer that friendly, trusting person that I used to be, and that was taken away from me. You know, like, you lose so much with an incident like that. And then it was, it's kind of like really unfortunate, because I guarantee he just did his time and forgot all about me, you know? Mm-hmm. And here I am thinking about him every day.
Yeah. You know?
And it's just not fair. But it just is what it is. And I guess because of it, it's like, I just try to be more careful, you know, and really conscious of my environment, you know. Mm-hmm. The next day after that happened, my brothers were so upset with me. And they were just like, we told you not to go there, mm-hmm. you know. And that's all I could think, is I just should have listened. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I guess. So I just hope somebody can learn from my mistakes and hear the story and think, don't leave that spot.
Mm-hmm.
If you can fight hard enough, fight. Don't give up, and don't, you know, it is, I know it's a different story these days if they're trying to drug a woman or, you know, whatever, but if they let you fight, then fight, bite them, beat them, scratch them, kick them, do whatever you have to do, scream. Just don't leave that spot if you can help it. I guess that's the only thing I'm trying to really get across.
Yeah. I didn't want to interrupt your story because it was like mm-hmm. flowing so smoothly, but that was like something I was thinking. I was like, okay, that was great that you didn't leave that spot, because I feel like lots of people, they make that mistake of maybe like thinking, okay, if I go with them, they're not going to hurt me, or like, you know, like if they have like a knife or if they're armed or something, they're like, oh my God, I don't want to. But it's like, if you leave that one location, go to another location, like right. it could all be over and no one will know where you were last. So
yeah,
like, it's really great that you stayed in the spot and you fought. And also the entire time you're telling me, I was saying, where's your cousin at? And so, yeah, the entire time I was like, where, what's going on? Like
sitting in the car.
Helping. Yeah. And so I get that as well, because it's like, what is it called? I think it's like the bystander effect or something, where it's like you see something happening and you're hoping someone else might do something,
yeah.
you know, to stop it because you feel like you can't.
Yeah. She was terrified. I mean, but that wasn't clear right away, because to know my cousin is to know that she talks a big talk. You know what I mean? She was a big barker. So it was just like, really? Like, if there's anybody I would have felt safe with, it would have been you, you know? And then it was like, nothing though. But I mean, these were two big guys, and really, there's probably not much you could have done, but maybe get knocked out with me. I don't know. know? In reality, you know? So it's like, at the very least, I wish that she would have used my mace. I wish that she would have just got out and just sprayed him, you know, with my mace or something. But, you know, now I carry things to protect myself too. I'm not just with mace, but
yeah.
But my brothers, you know, they taught me how to shoot after that. And, you know, to not just be overly reactive, you know, not every situation is going to be end in some vital craziness, but just to be aware, you know, and just be aware of your surroundings. These women, like us as women anyway, we're always busy. We're always on our phones. Some of us work on our phone, you know how it is. Yeah. And it's scary to see how many of us will be out in parking lots and stuff like that and be looking down on our phone and then see somebody else in the background that's looking at that woman. That woman's not even aware, you know, and maybe it's broad daylight, maybe it's dark, and I don't know, but they don't seem to care much anymore if it's daylight or dark. It just happens, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
Yeah,
I've seen that all the time. And even myself, as someone who looks up all of these cases and, you know, sees all the things that happen, sometimes I even catch myself on my phone, like walking in the parking lot, or even sometimes at night. And I'm like, I'd like automatically try to correct it, because I'm like, I should be aware as well, you know. It is really scary out there. And I live in Florida actually, and human trafficking is really big here.
Is.
And so, and I'm sure it's big like everywhere, but I think it's really big here because of we have lots of ports and stuff.
I know in Florida, it can be dangerous too. So, yeah, you got to be careful. Just always like aware of your surroundings and who's watching you, if anybody. And it's just, that was a huge mistake we made. If we would have, I mean, if we would have just been paying attention that night, I think nothing would have happened. Because if you think about it, they kind of lagged behind us. We walked home. We weren't paying attention. We were just talking and laughing and blah, blah, blah. But if I was paying attention, I would have went into my girlfriend's house. I wouldn't have tried to go nowhere, And the same with my girlfriend. She wouldn't have let us go. She would have said, no, come inside for a while, until they leave, or something, I just don't think it would happen if we were really aware, if we were paying attention. That's part of the message I hope to convey to women, is to just be aware. It makes a difference.
Thank you so much for sharing your story. That's really scary, but I think that the fact that you're able to kind of like explain everything that happened and how you reacted, I think you reacted perfectly and like you fought, you wouldn't leave. I think that's like really, really great. And it's good. I think it'd be good for the listeners to hear because in a lot of these stories that I tell personally, you never really know what happens to the victims. It's like they're just missing. Or, something happened to them. We just don't get that insight. But like, this kind of stuff happens all the time, and lots of people aren't able to tell their stories. And so I think it's really great that you came on today and were able to tell your story. So thank you so much.
No problem, Robin. Thank you for having me.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in this week, and thank you so much for listening to Hope's story. I'm so happy that she decided to share this on my platform because I think it's very important to get stories like this out there just for awareness purposes. And not only that, but also so people who have been through something similar don't feel so alone. And so I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. Thank you so much again for listening, and I'll see you guys next week. Bye.